Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now, on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, and if you probably are noticing, the sound quality is a little bit different today. I have upgraded my my GarageBand, and some of the settings in there are very different when it comes to voice and podcasting, so I apologize for the inconvenience. Hopefully, this will be clear enough for you to get into this conversation. We are in the conclusion of a series, and I hope you've been with us for the last 6 weeks. This is week number 7, and it has been a long examination of integral theory, of spiral dynamics, of the levels of consciousness, and today we're going to kind of look at the highest level of consciousness, just briefly, and really make more comments around it that will help you understand really what we're talking about and why it's so important. Thanks for coming in and tuning in, and I do hope that this series has helped you, because once we have these kind of categories for understanding how people think, it gives us pause so that when somebody else is saying something that we totally disagree with, we don't just shoot them down and say, God, that person is a total idiot. Are they stupid? Are they just dumb? Do they just not get it? You kind of have more compassion once you understand this. And you realize that, yes, they do get it. They just get it in a different way. And that allows us to move together into unity and not into divisive factions and arguments and ultimately wars, separation, and pain. So the unraveling of our world has to do with our divisions. The unifying of our world, coming together and being great, has everything to do with becoming unified, coming together as one. And that has everything to do with raising our consciousness. Okay, so, you know, our examination so far has really showed how we progress from the first tier of consciousness to the second tier, and now we're going to ask ourselves what's next. And today we're talking about third tier consciousness. And numerous minds historically have written about the progression of humanity, the progression of human consciousness, and they've done it from many different disciplines such as sociology, psychology, certainly theology. Even biology and education have kind of jumped into the mix to kind of quantify what does it look like when a person moves and advances and matures in how they think and understand. It's undeniable, really, that we pass through these very distinct mindsets as we mature. So at the lower levels, we are not conscious of our consciousness. Right? A little baby sitting on your lap is not thinking about the fact that they are thinking. At higher levels, we recognize the power of our consciousness to bring about concrete reality. You know, so that's why you see a lot of spirituality and people in that space, the gurus, talking about intention, talking about consciousness, talking about awareness. If you are part of a religion, they talk about knowing God. They talk about learning about who you are. If you're part of psychology, it's about discovering yourself, your true self, right? There's a lot of different ways that people get at this, but the progress of growing our consciousness is certainly a part of the whole thing. Now, this is important because when you move up the scale, we recognize the power of our consciousness, like I said, to actually bring about our concrete reality. And this is really important because once again, the non-physical realities are creating the physical realities. It's this idea of ex nihilo, out of nothing comes something. You know, ideas become things. Scripture would tell us word becomes flesh in John 1:14. So please do not skim over this vital truth. consciousness is not merely the neurotransmitters in our brain firing and functioning on the synapses. Although brain chemicals contribute to our consciousness, that is not all that consciousness is. Consciousness can actually alter our brain chemicals. So the consciousness is not only a reaction to brain chemicals, it can actually alter brain chemicals and change brain chemicals, which is very important for us to understand as we consider what is consciousness and how do we grow it. Consciousness is the non-physical aspect of our unique human experience, which is also physical, right? You can't surgically remove consciousness. Well, you could take out a person's brain and as a result take out the consciousness. So it is related to our physical reality, but consciousness is not measurable in the same kind of dimensions. Our consciousness is our essence. It's not just our DNA. So in spiritual terms, it's called the soul. In psychological terms, it's called the true self. Thus, our soul influences and is influenced by the material world. This is really a key truth to understand, because there's a lot of people out there that think they're just a physical being. They're just an animal of some sort. And they say, I'm not a spiritual person. Or maybe they're really scientific. They don't believe in those things that they can't measure, taste, touch, and feel, right? This is another way of saying that all people, everyone you've ever met, who's ever lived on the earth, is both a spiritual and a physical being. See, one side, the spiritual side or the physical side, it doesn't prosper or decline apart from the other. You don't gain physical well-being without gaining spiritual well-being along with it. And you don't have huge physical decline without a decline in our spiritual well-being either. You see how they're connected? One is empirically based, one is not empirically based, but both aspects are completely real. So it's really important to understand that. And in our diverse postmodern world, you know, we interact with every level of human awareness, every level of consciousness. And we've talked about how they're all out there all the time right now. They're always kind of going after things, right? We tend to like the people that are in our stage, and we tend to dislike those at different levels, right? Especially if you've outgrown something. You know, at some point you kind of outgrow a certain kind of group of people. And then when you see those groups of people, you tend to have very little, happiness for them or very little regard for them. The biggest transformation to higher consciousness then is the movement towards unity and the inclusion of all others. And religion has historically been the go-to system for human transformation. But religion became institutionalized. And when it did, it got stuck because it has to be so self-protective. The institution itself can never get out of tribal or warrior stage. It has to create an us versus them kind of dynamic, or else it can't keep you stuck in it. Therefore, it's really important that institutions never grow up. Well, and as religion became institutionalized, people have opted to grow their soul via other means. And as the collective consciousness has risen in our culture, institutionalized religion has not kept up. And as a result, less and less people value a regressive system. You know, a repotted plant can't go back into the formative container that it came from. And so this is what we're seeing in a lot of church planting and ministry right now. We see the church kind of rising up and saying the culture is just getting worse and worse and worse because it has no desire to come to church. Fewer and fewer people. It's declining at a rate of about 2% per year. And I just saw an article this week on millennials and how just a very few fraction of them, like 4%, are at all interested in becoming part of a religious institution. See, that means that they're gaining awareness about things from other places, and the church has not caught up, okay? It doesn't necessarily mean that everything's going to hell in a handbasket, as they'd like to say. That is, again, a lower level consciousness that's kind of speaking out and threatening you and trying to create fear to make you feel like either if you're a part of the in crowd, you're way better than you are. And if you're a part of the out crowd, it's trying to scare you and make you feel bad about it so that you join them. And third tier consciousness isn't like that. You see, it's highly integral. And that means that it's an integration of all the most mature aspects of each stage. It's not that you ever really graduate from any of them completely. You're always integrating the best of each stage into a higher and wider perspective that allows you to think and do things differently. Now, think of it like mathematics. The most challenging mathematical equation still utilizes first grade math. You know, it still requires us to use low-level math skills, right? And it's not like low-level math skills are a bad thing. I mean, for a first grader, low-level math is a great thing. And guess what? For the person doing extremely complex math problems, low-level math skills are really important. They're still using them. It's not a bad thing to have low-level math. It's simply a limiting thing. If you only have low-level math, then you're limited in the kinds of calculations that you can perform, right? You're limited in the kinds of problems that you can solve. And so in the same way, low consciousness is not a bad thing. It's a limiting thing. Right? So we have to move away from saying, oh man, those people are so stupid. Oh, I used to believe like that. Now I don't, you know. It's a limiting thing. It's not a bad thing. See, a tribal person will choose war because they lack the ability to grasp options beyond war. Right? The warrior stage gathers people for a fight because they have to have an opponent. Right? It's because they don't realize they don't need an opponent. That the opponent is probably very much like them. In fact, the differences that separate them are probably much smaller than the things that unite them. But they don't see that. It's a limiting factor. Okay? So a third tier consciousness also, it's not based on IQ. This is not just the consciousness level that the smart people get to go to. If you kind of come into that perspective, then it's your ego that's getting in the way. And we're going to talk about the ego at the very end because actually it's central to consciousness. But it's not, third tier consciousness is not about IQ. It's not about what a person knows, but how they actually know it. For example, the commandment to love your neighbor in Mark 12:31, that can be understood at all levels of consciousness. Now, what is literal at the lower levels, meaning love the person who lives right next door to you, it might be way more nuanced at a higher level. And even the story goes on to tell about the Good Samaritan in a way of explaining who is the neighbor, right? The what is not altered by higher consciousness. See, what we know, the place we grew up, the things we lived, the culture we came from, the dynamics, all the what that makes us who we are is not altered. You don't give all that up. What's altered is the how. As you gain consciousness, how you understand all those things and how they all fit together, that becomes altered by higher consciousness. Because You see, the what is based in knowledge. What you know is basically your knowledge level. How you know it is based in your wisdom. And wisdom is really the skill to use the knowledge that you possess. So a wise person isn't somebody who has a ton of knowledge. We all know people who have tons of knowledge that have no wisdom, right? These are the geniuses that, you know, can't seem to navigate a supermarket. But we also know that there are children who have very little knowledge, but can say something truly profound and full of wisdom. So that is a vital point for you to understand about a higher consciousness. The simple and the really intelligent both have access to high levels of consciousness. Okay? It's really important. So the next thing that we need to know is that we are all in flux. See, consciousness, as we've seen throughout this series, we've seen how it's gone back and forth, higher and lower. Consciousness, the soul, the self, the true self, it's dynamism, it's movement, it's a flow. It is not a stagnant thing. It's a flow. Think of it like that. It's not the dancer, it's the dance, as Richard Rohr would say when he's talking about Trinitarian flow. In spirituality, you see, we all move in and out of higher and lower stages and states while we mature. So before you ever move into second tier consciousness, you were in first tier consciousness, but kind of bumping into second tier from time to time, right? Third tier people briefly disintegrate into first tier tribalism. Right, we've watched the postmoderns who have a highly integrated worldview disintegrate into complete tribalism after this election. We see second tier and first tier consciousnesses integrate into their higher levels of second and third tier just by the way they're integrating the things they're learning. You see, we're in flow. We don't get to just go into one stage and park. We actually go in and out based upon how we feel, our emotions, our ability to stay awake, stay conscious. This is, you know, this means it's best not to ever label yourself. Again, if you're labeling yourself saying, hey, I'm a third tier conscious kind of person, you've got an ego issue that you got to get dealt with, right? Don't label yourself. It doesn't matter where you are. Because we are what we are, regardless of what we think we are, right? You can think you're something else and be much lower, or you can think you're much lower and be much higher. It doesn't really matter. You are what you are, but you're only there for now because your consciousness is growing, whether you realize it or not. And since consciousness is dynamic, it means that we can rise to a higher level at any moment that we become conscious of our consciousness. And I call that proximity. Proximity is that moment of awareness, that deep, intuited experience of clarity that comes to us at different times. And some people experience this in a Sunday worship service or a weekend worship service at their church or religious institution. Many people experience this in meditation, in yoga, in prayer. Many people experience this in physical activity, maybe in Tai Chi. I do like Chai Chi, maybe it's in running, going for a run and just clearing the fog out of your head, right? Getting on a bike and hitting single track for me is a great way for me to become conscious of my consciousness. I have some great thoughts and of moments of clarity in that way, right? We all have this moment of proximity. That's because it's dynamic. And for example, if I give up revenge, if I say, you know what, I am not going to just be angry at this person any longer. I'm going to give up that revenge. Then so long as I'm conscious of forgiveness, so long as I'm moving in that space, I am conforming to a higher ideal and I'm moving toward unity. I'm moving towards a higher consciousness. When you make those kinds of conscious decisions, you're moving, you're growing, you're making those kinds of great changes. And guess what? We can all do this. It does take practice, though, to wake ourselves up and enter what I call proximity. So waking up then begins what I think is the true spiritual journey for everybody. And this isn't just the journey for the person who shows up at church. This isn't just the person who decides to become religious or spiritual or, you know, No. This is anybody who wants to wake up to their consciousness is beginning a truly spiritual journey. And this is where we can actually learn from religion. You know, a lot of times I take pot shots at religion because it's institutionalized and it seems to be stuck in certain frameworks. But there's something really beneficial here. You see, all religion has processes for helping us overcome the single biggest hurdle in our journey to our transformation. Do you know what that is? I've already hinted at it twice. That's right. It's our ego. It's our ego. And all religion at its deepest phases is chipping away at our ego. In Christianity, it teaches us that we have to die to ourself. We have to put that self on a cross and let it die for the sake of others, putting others first, right? In Buddhist meditation, it's all about ridding oneself of this egoic self-focus, right? Our thoughts, the things we cling to, the things we go after, just like Paul says, everything you turn to and turn away from, it's all ego. Solomon wrote in the Jewish scripture in Ecclesiastes that it's all vanity. Everything is vanity, right? So the ego is not a small problem. It's a huge problem. And there are systems that are given to us in religion that help us kind of identify it and work on getting through it. But in the end, it's going to be the biggest challenge of your life. Pride is the one battle we all must face if we're to grow together. You see, our dualistic comparisons, our competitions, our, you know, our grandstanding, our self-promotions, our self-protections, it's all ground zero for transforming the human soul. And so if humanity is not found, I'm sorry, if humility is not found, there's no progression. And when the ego can be seen and diminished, the true soul can find life. It's like being born anew. And this is why scripture says that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble in 1 Peter 5:5. You see, the trajectory of third tier consciousness or a mature soul, it has no room for ego and all the games that the ego plays. You know, as John Calvin said, it makes the spiritual work of knowing oneself on par with knowing God. In fact, he said you can't know God apart from knowing yourself. And now that gives us the categories to know ourselves, right? It's a spiritual journey. Fighting the ego is a spiritual battle. We all have the building blocks now for the world to actually know God. And maybe it's not the God that we were presented in first tier consciousness, where it's a guy with a gray beard, with a rifle, a sniper God. Take the shot at all the sinners, the angry God who hates everybody, who's mad at everybody, who's offended at everything, right? Maybe there's a new way to interpret this. Maybe there's a new way to know God. And in fact, I do know that there is. And so a unified, integrated world, which is what we all really want, is always found on the other side of our pride. And it will take a higher consciousness to get us there. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you. And I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.